Thank you for being here today, everybody. Welcome to Hope Church and welcome Hope at Home if you're watching. If I've never met you, my name is Pastor Kevin St. Clair. I'd love to get to know you and say hello today. So don't run off today. I'd love to see why you're here and how you got here and just get to know you. But thank you again for being here today. I'm looking forward to Father's Day next week, okay? So get prepared. We always have a great time out at the park. And if you're brand new today, you come too, okay? Come to next week to Blowing Springs Park. We always have a great time. If there is some kind of monsoon rainstorm, okay, that morning, we will still have Father's Day. It will just probably be in our gym, okay? We'll let you know. But we're fully planning on being at the park. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18, okay? And we'll get there in a little bit, but you can put your place mark there. And I just want to pray up front today, okay, as you get to Luke 18. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. We can't say it enough. We live in the goodness of God. And we're so grateful for what you've done and who you are, that you're true to who you are. We give you glory and honor this morning. Pray that our hearts would be open to your word and that we would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. We love you so much. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, hey, I was at my son's sports award banquet at his school, okay? This happens every year. They call it the Night of Champions. Yeah, that sounds good, huh? Big night, and it certainly was. Our school joined the AAA conference and won a bunch of championships the very first year that they were in it. That's Providence Academy, by the way, that I'm talking about. And so the Night of Champions is a great opportunity to recognize achievement in sports greatness. Yeah, how many of you like sports and sports greatness? Any NBA fans out there, right? Sports greatness is everywhere. We love it. Well, a lot of us do. Not all of us. That's okay. But it's kind of a long night, to be honest. It is really long because every sport is recognized, as well as coaches and players, and anyone from the school can go to the banquet, but when your child is going to receive an award, you get notified ahead of time. Okay, that's kind of a nice thing. It's a nice heads up for parents because nobody wants to miss seeing their kids getting recognized, right? We go to a lot of things for our kids. So we got notified. One of our sons would receive an award. And we went and we waited and we waited and we waited some more. And as each sport came up and teams and coaches, and we watched this massive trophy table dwindle down to just a few little awards left, my son was never called up to receive an award. His name was mentioned, and he was one of two all-conference players for varsity basketball, and he got, some claps, but he never got called up to the stage. And that's what it has always meant in the past to receive that notification, right? And so the end of the night approached, and I thought, well, they gave him a shout-out. That's great. They gave him a shout-out. Maybe that's what all, that's all it was about. And so I went back and, I checked the email notification one more time to be absolutely sure of what it said. And it said that an award would be received. I thought, well, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe it was just a shout out and they weren't actually giving him an award. And then we get to the end of the night and then three final awards were given out. And these are awards that are emphasized at the end of the evening, and they are focused on going above and beyond in service. And one is given to a coach, and one is given to a student, and two were given to volunteers, of which one would be given to a couple, as they announced. And so they began to recount how a couple had served at some sporting events for sports of kids that their kids weren't even in. So they served at sporting events that they didn't have their own kids in. And I thought, wow, what a cool couple. That is a cool couple. Who are these people? And then they said, you know, this couple would stay after basketball games and pick up all the trash in the stands when they weren't asked. And I thought, oh yeah, Amanda and I used to do that at every basketball game. And I went, uh-oh. I thought, there's no way that they could possibly be talking about us, but they were. And guess what? We got called up on stage, and I just got to show you this real quick. Look at this thing. Boom. Look at that. I don't need applause, honestly. That's not why I did this. The Patriot Service Award, Kevin and Amanda St. Clair. Emphasis, Amanda St. Clair, okay? Right there. That should go in her office, not mine. But you know what? There it is. And I'm not doing this today to make myself look good, okay? I'm not doing that. I'm just saying this because I didn't want to go up and be recognized. I wasn't there to receive an award. I was there to see my son receive an award. That's what I wanted. But here's why I share this story. For one little brief moment in our lives, we were recognized for doing something good, having no idea that we were being considered for an award. We weren't doing it for that reason, right? In fact, I felt like there were probably at least 50 other people out there that deserved a lot more recognition than us. But because we know what it's like to have to stay after events and clean up, right? And we know the long hours it takes to make events happen, we just recognized the help that was needed, and we just did it. We just did it. Now, this trophy probably says more about how they appreciated what we did than anything else, because I'm not sure I deserve it, okay? I really am not sure I deserve that. In fact, I don't deserve it. But the question is this: what do I deserve? And I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. What do I deserve? And the question is a lot like this next guy. When he asked about receiving the greatest reward of them all, and it's found in Luke 18. Let's go there now. A certain young ruler approaches Jesus to ask a simple question. In verse 18, he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The greatest reward of them all. Now, this question is about eternal life, right? Is it? No, this question is disguised as a question about eternal life. Because look at what Jesus says. Verse 19, he says, hold on. "Why do you call me good?" He says, "No one is good except God alone." Now, we need to spend just a little time right here and just wrap our minds around this answer, okay? If that is a true statement, no one is good except God alone. All right, then to call Jesus good should be to call him God. That's what the man should be thinking. But we're not sure that this man recognized Jesus as God when he asked that question. In fact, the story would suggest that he did not recognize him as God. It seems as though this man is calling Jesus good, but not God. In fact, a lot of people talk about Jesus that way. They call him all kinds of things, right? They say he's a good man and a good teacher and a good prophet. Very few people claim that Jesus did not exist, right? People say that he was good. But for him to call Jesus good, but to not recognize who Jesus really was, is dangerous on his part because it implies something that we often get caught up in life, that someone who is not God could be good enough to inherit heaven. Now, I believe that Jesus is God, but the man didn't believe that, right? So it implies that someone who is not God, according to this man, could be good enough to inherit heaven. So if the man believed that Jesus was good but not God, the essence of goodness, it is lowered from that only God is good standard, from that holy standard down to a human standard, and suddenly we view goodness just like the man did, as having these various levels. And we begin to wonder just how good we have to be, right? What level do I have to reach to be good enough? And that is the loose foundation underneath this man's question. Okay, the standard of good is God. Amen. I don't meet that standard. Now, if this man really knew, and if he really understood who Jesus was, he would have done something very different than what he did. Perhaps like the woman who brought an alabaster jar of perfume to Jesus and broke it over his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Wow. Now that is a woman who understood who Jesus was. She wasn't some rich ruler. She had lived a sinful life and she was known around town for it. That's in Luke chapter 7, by the way, if you want to read that on your own time. She sought out Jesus too, but she didn't ask how good she could be. She just fell at his feet, and she covered them with her tears. And you know what happened when she did that? The religious leaders there were saying to themselves, you know, if this guy's a prophet, you know, he would know this woman and who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. In Luke 7:39, they say she's a sinner. And so Jesus says to them, he says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. If the man understood who Jesus was, he would have did something very different. To this woman, Jesus says, your faith has saved you. But Jesus hits the brakes on the rich ruler at the very first word that comes out of his mouth. Good. See, he wants the same reward in a totally different way. The real question the man needed to be thinking about is this: what does it mean to be good? And am I an example of what it really means to be good? Is this what it means to be good? Can I do enough to be that good? And if I say that I'm good, am I as good as God? And if I'm not as good as God, and only God is good, am I even good at all? See, these are the things that God's word just puts you in a tailspin sometimes to think about these things. The what must I do questions about salvation, they are actually questions about self-righteousness, disguised as questions about salvation. The man essentially asked, how can I deserve to enter heaven? He thought he could deserve it somehow. Now, let's just reason this out for a minute. If we could actually deserve heaven by doing enough or by serving enough, essentially by being good enough, then we don't need a God who is that good. If we can be good enough, we are our own gods, because only God is good. But thank the Lord that we are saved by grace, because if we weren't, I know that this isn't enough to get me through the doors. Right? The problem with most of the trophies we receive in this world is that you have to be good enough to get them. You do. You win a championship in a sport, you got to be good enough to get it. And the problem with this trophy is that it makes me look better than I am. I may or may not have deserved this. But like I said, my wife did deserve this. And she deserves a trophy like this probably every day. Okay? I certainly don't deserve one like this every day, because serving someone else is not always the first thing that's on my mind. In fact, a lot of times, I just want to serve myself. But Jesus gets down to the root of the question, why did you just call me good? How come you would say something like that? And this is one of the gravest mistakes we can infuse into our belief system, that somehow we can earn our way into this inheritance in heaven by being good enough. Well, if we want to be good enough, Jesus answers in the following way. Okay, verse 20. Luke 18:20, he says, you know the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. The man says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Wow, that's amazing, actually. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And when he heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. Oh, wealth, wealth, wealth. Wealth is often seen as the proof of God's work in our lives. But wealth is not the greatest indicator that the Holy Spirit is working in us. Let's check out what Jesus says next. Jesus, verse 24. Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." What does Jesus do? Jesus completely blows up this notion that we can earn our way into heaven with wealth or success or any other way. In fact, what he says implies that wealth might actually be a greater hindrance to some of us than a help. It has certainly destroyed a lot of lives. But Jesus looked right into his eyes. And he carefully chooses these words because he wanted the man to never forget what he said. And he wanted the man to stop thinking about his wealth and even all he had done for others and even all the rules he had kept since he was a kid and instead think about what does it really mean to be good. So what really is good? Good is the absence of anything bad. You can't have an ounce of bad with good and still have what is truly good. All right, good is pure. Its motivation is pure. Its purpose is pure. Its actions are pure. And it is purely selfless. And that is why only God is good. And Jesus says here, "Hey, why don't you try jamming a camel, you know, through the eye of a needle? That'd be kind of hard to do, right? Why did you try doing that? That would be easier than what you're trying to do by being good enough." Pretty crazy, huh? Well, people are hearing what Jesus is saying, and they're like, verse 26, those who heard this, they said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And see, the people respond by saying, "Wow, you know, if this guy can't do it, if this guy isn't good enough, right, and he's rich, and he's kept all the commands since he was a kid, how can anybody do this?" They had the wrong idea about being good. And why have I shared this? Okay, news flash. My wife and I aren't getting into heaven because of any good things we've done. Okay? Amanda and I aren't getting into heaven because we work at a church or because we're pastors. I might be the first one out if I'm doing this for the wrong reasons, right? Doesn't matter how many trophies we get, we will only be allowed in by the grace of God and acknowledging Jesus as our Savior. It's just that one way. And yet, goodness, what we're talking about today, okay? Goodness is the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. And what does that mean? That means God still wants us to be good. Pretty crazy, huh? How does that work? All right? If only God is good, then true goodness doesn't originate from within us. Maybe some compromised form of it, maybe some mixed up formula of goodness that makes me think I'm doing something good, but not the purest form of good. That comes from God, and that is why we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks. The goodness that we are after is the kind that happens only for the glory of God. And it comes from outside of us, and it flows through our lives. As it says in James chapter 1, I think we said this morning already, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from where? It's from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So as hard as we try, and I know we try hard, don't we? We try really hard. As hard as we try sometimes, we change and we shift from day to day. But God is good all the time. And?
All the time.
Amen. Amen. He is always good. With this in mind, think about this. Anything we have that is good, anything that we have that is good to give, our time, our talents, our treasures, okay, our homes, our money, our tithes, our offerings, all of it has come from the hand of the maker of all things. He has blessed our lives with it, not for us to contemplate whether the people with the most can enter heaven, but to be a blessing to others. That's why. That's why you have what you have. And if you have given your life to Jesus, you don't have to worry about it. You're in. So stop worrying about whether you're getting into heaven and start being a blessing. It's time to let that stuff, all that good stuff, flow through your lives. Ephesians 2 says, let me read it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Has God been good to you? You can answer that. Has God been good to you? Has He provided for you? Has He blessed you? Do you have another day of life? Then He has given you plenty of good things to use for His glory. Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. It is stored up because it comes from somewhere. And to be good in a way that is pleasing to God, it's not about trying to generate it in your life. The goodness of God flows out of your life and through your life. And it comes out in acts of kindness and service and forgiveness and generosity. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit works in your lives, and you must invite the Holy Spirit into your life. But as the Holy Spirit works in your life, and as we recognize the goodness of God more and more, it begins to store up in your heart. And when you do that, you cannot help that your soul becomes like good soil. And it becomes more and more inclined to goodness. When you plant things in good soil, it just grows. And we need that. And we do it for one purpose, for His glory. Amen. Amen. Now, we are not always recognized publicly when goodness flows through us, which is all that was that Amanda and I did. I'm not good, but goodness just flowing through. But God sees it all. And one day, we will be called up, not on a stage, but before the throne of God. And that's a more important place to stand, is it not? And I just want to read for you what it's going to be like on that day from Matthew chapter 25. Listen to this, starting in verse 31, in case you want the reference. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels are with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and He will put the goats on His left. And then the king will say to those on His right, He'll say, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." And then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? I don't remember that stuff. When did we see you sick or in prison or go and visit you?" And the king will say, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of Mine, you did for Me." See, they didn't even know they were being rewarded. They were just doing good, letting goodness flow out of their lives that comes from above. And we will be rewarded according to what we did for other people, not for ourselves. And not because we're trying to earn heaven, but because our hearts are inclined to goodness through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Unfortunately, there's a tough part of the story that we have to complete here. It says, "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry and you gave Me nothing. And I was thirsty and you gave Me nothing to drink. And I was a stranger and you didn't invite Me in. And I needed clothes and you didn't clothe Me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after Me.'" And they're going to say the same thing. "Lord, what? That's not fair, right? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and didn't help you?" And He said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Why is that? Because everything we have is to be given to others. The goodness of God is not just to be stored up in us. It's to flow through us because we're not good. Only He is good. When we understand that, we will fall at His feet. And we will shed the tears. And we will pour out whatever we have to, as expensive as it is, to worship him and to thank him for his goodness. Amen. I want to invite the band up as we finish the service today with a worship song. And while they're coming up, let me just ask you this. How do we know? We've kind of said this every week, okay? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is at work in us with goodness? How do we know that? The best indicator that this fruit is at work in your life is this. Can I let the goodness of God be given away through my life? Without expecting anything in return? And can I realize what I don't deserve? If you are doing those things, the Holy Spirit is hard at work in you. He's working in all of us. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness again. What we do is no comparison. It's so tiny. You're so good to even work through our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to help people with the goodness of God, that we get to partake in that and even be a part of what your plan is. You have so many good things for us. We know that you did not come to be served, but you came to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. Thank you for that. And your word says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And God, if we really want to cling to what is good, then we have to cling to God. Help us to do that. You are the real champion. You are the real one who deserves the praise and the glory. The one who paid for my sin and died on the cross. Amen.